Good morning and welcome to episode 79 of the Deck Tease podcast, brought to you by GatheringMagic.com. My name is Erin Campbell. My guests today document their adventures as fresh faces in the magic scene on their hit show, Magic the Amateuring. Here to talk about their show and themselves is Ben, Maria, and Megan. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. How's it going?
We're great.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on. We're so excited to talk to you.
Yeah.
Seriously, I didn't think you knew who I was. Like, I
weren't. Yeah.
We follow you on Twitter.
I apologize in advance.
Not necessary.
No. Okay.
I have to say, you guys are awfully chipper for a Sunday morning.
Yeah, we did a warm-up podcast of our own.
We did our own podcast.
We did our podcast.
Is what he means.
Yeah.
So this is the second show you've recorded today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. I get anxious when I have to do two in a week, much less two in a day.
You release weekly?
I do. I do once a week, and then I've been known to appear on other people's shows. So the Heavy Meta may ask me to come on, and then I'll have to do their show and mine. And then I was on a Monday Night Magic one, so that was that and that. And then I still have friends in the WoW community, and they've been getting into Hearthstone. And because Hearthstone and Magic have similarities, they'll be like, well, come on this WoW show and talk about Hearthstone. So then I'll come on five gaming things. So it's fairly often that I'm, you know, doing two things, and even then I'm just exhausted by the end of the week just from hearing my own voice. Yeah,
I think the difference there is that we get energized by hearing our own voices.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're like, let's go.
Really? I don't think, maybe you guys do.
Yeah.
I get lulled to sleep.
That's fair. I also get lulled to sleep by your voice.
Oh, dang.
Oh, slam.
I mean, you're saying interesting things, but I'm like, oh, this is just the right pitch. I'm going to take a nap.
I actually have a sound emulator on my phone with soothing sounds to fall asleep to. I have Rainforest. I have, you know, Starship Enterprise engine noise. And I have Ben's voice.
Ben's voice.
Yeah. I think it's different when you have people you can play off of, but when it's just me, and then when I have to edit it and it's just me and the guest, I have to hear myself a lot.
Yeah.
When I had a partner, I did a show before this one called the 00 Podcast with my friend Ophelie, and it was different because we were different and our voices were different. She was French-Canadian, which was very lovely to listen to, but when it's just yourself, it's like, oh, this bitch, like, oh. You just get tired of yourself after a while. You're like, why did you say that? Why did you inflect that? Oh, yeah, hate you, you know?
Yeah, we definitely have fun doing the podcast with three people. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
Whenever we're below three people for some reason, it's less fun.
Wait, we've never been below three people.
That's true, but there's a reason for that.
So yeah, you've all been there for all your episodes?
No. Last year I was traveling, and so Ben and Maria did the show, and I Skyped in for a few, and then they had some of our friends who also play Magic come on.
As guest hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think three is a really kind of neat magic number.
Magic number, get it?
Magic number!
I don't know why, it just helps to have,
yeah,
with our show anyway, because we're so jokey and everything.
Yeah.
Keeps the energy up.
Yeah, so, totally.
I think part of why, like, we started doing a podcast too a little bit because the three of us do improv together. And that's how we knew each other. So we're all like, we're all already performers.
Yeah.
So I feel like that probably has a little bit to do with us being like, yes, and more stuff.
And we usually have teams of three in the improv show that we do. So I think that is also a reason why we're very used to having three people, especially when we are kind of in performance mode.
It's funny that you mentioned being performers, because one of the things I enjoy about your show is how polished you are in terms of the number of people that you have. Like, I love Heavy Meta dearly. I've been on the show a couple of times. And one of the main complaints that Heavy Meta gets is that they're constantly talking over one another. One's, you know, they're just not giving each other the time to chime in. And I've never really had that problem when I've listened to your show. Is you three seem like you know when to jump in. You let each other have their say. And when you do, it's not like you're storming over them. It's a nice little transition from my thought to yours. And that's really hard to do with that many people.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. But it's totally an improv thing, and it's totally because we've worked together as improvisers for a while now, and it's all about improv. It's all about give and take. It's all about building off of each other. It's not about steamrolling and getting your idea in there by itself. It's about supporting your people who you're playing with.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something I heard on, I'm a big fan of a show called RuPaul's Drag Race.
Gosh, I love that show.
Just saying. So good. And one of the queens had made a comment. She was like, you know, part of being a star is knowing when to let someone else have the spotlight. And that's something I think is true in podcasts. And it can be even difficult with two hosts, you know, that you have that one that just always wants to be the voice. And I suffered with that from that when I first started. And I've learned to sort of pull back a little bit and be like, you know, this person deserves some of that too. I'm going to let them have their spotlight. And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the show for a bit. As of this recording, your show has 43 ratings on iTunes, all of them 4 stars or higher. You are regularly on the iTunes charts. Did you guys have any idea that your show was this big?
I don't know.
You didn't know any of that?
Well, we definitely knew that we had iTunes reviews.
Because we specifically ask listeners to give them to us. Mm-hmm. And we give them a deal, which is a kind of a trick I stole from another podcast called Super Ego, which is an improv podcast.
Oh. Yeah.
And what they did is they said, hey, if you leave us a review, we'll put your username on at the end of the show and read it in the credits. And so we sort of flipped it around and said, if you leave us a review, we'll do a pun based on your username on the show.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to admit it. It was a little bit of a trick to get people to leave us reviews. So,
leave us a review, but get made fun of.
So we do feel like we juiced it a little bit. So we're not necessarily going to look at that and be like, oh, we're super popular because we've got 40 reviews. But I do think it's a great way for us to pull in people that are maybe not as connected in the magic community, but are podcast listeners in general. Because if you're looking on iTunes and you're thinking, you know, you're looking for podcasts, oh, maybe there's a magic podcast out there. We want to show up in that search, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of podcasts that are, you know, go a little deeper than we do are more about competitive play. You know, if they just go on MTGcast, they're going to find all the people they need for their audience. But for us, we wanted other channels to be able to pull people in.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're here.
Oh, I was going to say, I think if I think back to like when we started the podcast, which was literally like we were just hanging out one night and we were like, oh, do you know what we should do? A magic podcast.
Yeah.
If at that point you were like, someday, children, you will have 43 ratings on iTunes. I would have been like, nah, shut up.
No, it's like, it's crazy because, well, when you're doing a show, number one, I think something that always happens to you is you don't realize how many people are listening to you, or you think nobody's listening to you. But that's really not the case. And something that I do is I'll check how many feed downloads we have every morning when I go into work. And I like to say it's my favorite part of my day because it's like I get to see how many people we're connecting with and how many new friends I have out there kind of in the world, which is a really corny way of putting it. But it makes me feel really good to look and see that people are listening to the show.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt a little bit afraid of the success? Like when you realize how big the show is, there's this feeling of, oh shit, people are listening. Whoa, you know?
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. There are some times when people send you creepy emails and you're like, okay.
Megan's got some love letters. She's got love letters.
I've got some.
Wow.
What was the one? No, mostly it was the one that was like, I was thinking if I could buy anything in magic, I would buy Megan.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was just like,
whoa.
Ah.
That's so crazy. I mean, I just get dick pics, which are always welcome. I've never had anything. I'm all about that. No, I've never. I have friends who work for Star City, and they say they get death threats. And you want to get purchased? Like, I've never. I must have different listeners because I just don't. I don't get that. Like, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I was gonna say most of our listeners are completely awesome.
They are. They're really great.
Yeah.
So. And even those creepy emails, they're sweet.
Maybe you just collect enough of them and they can like even out your tables, you know, like you just put under a table leg and be like, see, you're doing some good here.
Yeah.
Have you had people start approaching you at events yet?
Yes.
Okay.
We've had a few, not that many. We have only been to a few events, I guess, together.
Yeah. As a team.
But we went to Grand Prix Sacramento recently and we met a couple people. We met one guy who just recognized my voice, I think.
Yeah, that was so cool. Yeah.
And then he's like, this might be a really weird question, but are you guys on the podcast? I said, yes, we are.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite kind. That happened at a PTQ once, too, where it was the three of us sitting together. And he's like, I heard one of you earlier, but it wasn't until I heard all three of you
that I knew
next to each other. Yeah.
And that's something that I'm actually a little more used to than getting emails because I've been recognized before from doing improv stuff.
Yeah.
Not that often, but you know, once every 7 months or something, someone will be like, hey, don't you do improv or something? And so I'm more used to that, but actually getting the emails and stuff where people have a chance to kind of say a little bit more, that's something that's new because you don't really get that as much when you do improv.
Yeah.
Is this something you guys are actively like pushing for, like to make the show bigger and better? Or do you guys just sort of have the laid back attitude of we're just going to do this, and if you happen to come along, that's fine?
I don't know. We might be, we might have different opinions on it. Me personally,
I'm trying to make it less popular.
I am always pushing for it to be bigger and better and get to the next level and get more people, which might have something to do with the fact that I work in TV, and like the point is you're trying to get viewers all the time and everything. So for me, I really do push that, and that's my hope. And I always am looking for new ways for us to grow. Yeah. But, you know, in the end, I kind of don't like that about myself. Like, I should.
Wow, get real.
Holy shit.
Okay. People come to my show to get real. So this is perfectly in line. Once she starts covering the drinking problem and the impotency, we're in there. So
I just mean, like, I wish, you know, part of me says I should just like it just to do it. And I do. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is I also care about it being very successful.
Yeah.
So.
I
always think it's a little shady when people, not shady necessarily, but I never quite believe people who say, you know, oh, I don't care if anyone reads my stuff, and I don't care if anyone listens to your show. Sort of like when people go on award shows and they're like, you know, it's just a pleasure to be nominated. And it's like, bitch.
No, you wanted to win.
Yeah.
You had a speech ready in your head, even if you didn't write it down. You know that you wrote it.
Yeah. You're about to say something? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think I fall kind of somewhere on the spectrum between the two, because again, part of it's like, oh, I never thought that we would have like done as well as we have. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy with that. But at the same time, it kind of goes back to what Maria was saying about like, it feels like connecting with friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though we don't know them personally, it's like, I would like to push for more listeners just because it feels like we're reaching out and we're connecting with people. And if they like our podcast and it's like, oh, like, I'm really happy that we did that. That's really nice.
Yeah. I guess I'm not as concerned about how many people listen as much as I want the people that listen to really enjoy it. And I want, every episode we put out to be a good experience for people who are listening, whether it's their first time or their 10th time or whatever.
Yeah.
I think one thing people forget when it comes to podcasting is where people take you. And when you say you're making that connection, like I get emails from people where they say, I remember one situation I like to talk about is I have a friend who works third shift at an airport, and she takes packages off the plane, and sometimes she's alone and it's cold and she listens to my show to get through it.
Great.
And I'm just like, that's so crazy that somebody would use me to get through their night, you know, their cold, lonely night. Or, you know, I have people who drive a lot, who are truck drivers and things like that. And they'll say, man, I was on a, somebody tweeted me the other day and said, you know, I was on a road trip and I listened to your show for 6 hours. And I was like, you poor bastard, what were you doing? But again, here's this guy on the lonely road listening to my show in his car, his compact little car, and my voice is in that little chamber. And you just don't understand where people take you, and you do become a part of people's lives in a way. And I think that's something people don't realize when they get into this is, you know, how much of an impact we make.
I know, it's great. I mean, people have sent us notes that will say, you know, you're what helped me get through my Monday morning at work or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, it's so valuable, and it's so great to know that too.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm so happy that I can do that for you because I know that I need that. Like there are sources that I go to. So the fact that we're creating something that's like, that's someone's go-to, it's like, oh,
yeah,
nice. I feel you, buddy.
And even if we're just a sleep aid.
Even if we are Ben and people use us to nap.
Even if I just get you 10 extra minutes of sleep a week, for me, that's all I need.
Worth it.
Yes.
So I want to talk about how the show got started, because one of the things that I always tell people when they say that they're thinking about breaking into podcasting or blogging is I always tell them to make sure they're bringing something different to the table. Because if you want to listen to competitive talk, you can find that anywhere. If you want to read a tournament report, you can find that anywhere. Your show really does fill a niche that I think has been empty for quite some time. Tell me how the show got started and where this all came from.
Okay.
Well,
it started with us having a game night, which was Megan, Ben, and I would meet once a week to play board games.
Yep.
And we were playing like Settlers of Catan.
Yeah.
Some weird dice game that I forget the name of.
We tried to play Puerto Rico. But we didn't.
And then one of those nights, Ben reached up on top of his refrigerator
yep.
and pulled down some cards in a box. And he's like, do you guys want to learn magic?
Uh-oh.
And we were like,
okay, sure. What's that?
And you two had never played before?
No.
I had not played, but I had messed around with cards when I was like younger, like in middle school. But I certainly did not know what I was doing.
You messed around? Like what?
Like I made out with some cards.
Yeah. You rolled one up and smoked it?
She second did. Base.
Dude, she was just, it wasn't hard cards. It was just
over the
cards.
Cardboard.
You guys are going to end up changing your icon on iTunes or your avatar to be her naked rolling in a pile of magic cards now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know how many times I've thought about taking that photo. A lot of times.
So, and I mean, like the way we say it, it's like, it's all been downhill from there. Like a month later, Ben was like, oh, there's this store that's having a draft.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to go draft?
And I never, by the way, prompted them to play a second time. They were the ones that asked me, like, can we play
true.
Magic again?
Yeah. That like, is true.
Yeah, right. There was the Thanksgiving potluck for the improv group that we're all in. And then Maria and I asked Ben to bring magic to the potluck so that we could play while
and
we were
there. And they sat there like nerds and played cards.
During a party. And then from there, we were at my house again playing and we're like, hey, like Megan said, do you want to start a podcast? And we're like, what? And Ben's like, there's an actual podcast community. Check out MTGcast.
Yeah.
There's tons of podcasts on here. And I have all the gear because I used to work in radio. So I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just do it. It was a complete lark.
Yeah.
Complete lark.
And we sat down like right then and there and we're like, well, here's our first episode.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually, when you guys asked me if we could do a podcast, I had listened to enough magic podcasts that I knew that we could do one that would work.
Why?
Yeah. Why?
Because I knew, like Aaron said, that we brought a lot of stuff that to the table that wasn't typical of podcasts that are out there. We had kind of, you know, three very distinct voices, which I think a lot of podcasts that I've listened to, it's hard for me to even keep track of who the different people are.
Yeah.
Because they're so similar or because, you know, even just having one male voice and one female voice and one upper Midwest accent.
Okay.
I didn't want to have to say it. It's there.
That's like the number. That's like probably one of the top things that we get tweets or emails about is
Maria's
accent.
I was born close to Canada.
But I think we're really lucky just to have three different voices that are easily identifiable. And then I think also the fact that you guys were obviously very excited, but you didn't have any experience with the game.
Right.
I think that ended up being a very good thing, especially since we wanted to do a beginner's podcast. So it let us, you know, it gave us something to feed on and we didn't have to worry about getting too complicated because you guys were always there to ask those beginner questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the main complaints that I hear from newer players is that there's a lack of material out there. Like, they feel like a lot of the blog posts don't speak to them. They feel like they can't understand them. They feel like they can't relate to the podcast. Did you guys experience that at all when you were dipping your toes into this?
I feel like sometimes I still experience that. I feel like I read a pretty reasonable amount of magic content. Mm-hmm. And I watch a lot of videos. But there are still some articles where they get going, and I'm just sort of like, I don't know. They're assuming some sort of baseline knowledge that I don't have, especially if they're talking about like modern or something like that, or even some standard. I'm just sort of like, you're assuming that I know some things that I don't actually know.
And so we always try to make sure we don't assume too much on our show and try and make sure we cover the basics, even if we go into a more kind of advanced chat.
Yeah.
Just because we want to be mindful of our listeners who are new players because, hey, man, we all remember when we were that guy.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And if I ever hear you guys talk about something that I think, oh, someone might not know what this is, I always try to ask that question on behalf of the listener, just because we do want to be extremely accessible. We want anyone who listens to our podcast to have a shot of enjoying it.
That's a good way to put it.
You want to have a chance.
Why do you think it is that there are so few resources out there for the newer folks? Or why do you think that they do assume that we're all on the same playing field?
Well, I think magic is just so deep and also very introspective that once you have enough passion to actually be writing articles, producing a podcast, etc., you know, you're probably pretty experienced with the game. And, you know, it's just hard to remember that there was a time when, you know, you didn't know what a counterspell did or how the stack worked or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we've even experienced it, you know, 5 or 6 episodes in, we're like, oh, we're starting to get into some more advanced stuff that might not be easy for absolute beginners.
Yeah. I think it's sort of like, it's kind of, yeah, it's like once you get to the point where you would be writing or producing content, it's usually like you're beyond those basic things.
Right.
You're not going to write about them, which is where we were kind of a little bit unique, because Maria and I were just so gung-ho about this that we were like, it doesn't matter that we know next to nothing.
Right.
Let's make a podcast.
Because you guys had only been playing for, what, 2 months?
When 2 months or something like that, yeah.
And you'd done, and most
One
of that,
draft?
Yeah, most of that was just playing with pre-constructed decks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only, you know, you'd done one actual draft.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's also the flip side of that coin, right, in that some people will say they aren't interested in trying us out or even taking a listen to us because they are an advanced player.
Yeah.
So that makes me a little sad, because I would hope that we are, you know, interesting enough or appealing enough to people who have been playing for a long time. And, yeah, we do get listeners who say, I'm way more advanced than the stuff you guys talk about, but I just like listening to you because you're so casual and you have fun and that sort of thing. So that's something that does concern me, is that we might turn off more advanced players simply because of our name. I don't know. It's something we've talked about.
Have there been things that you've wanted to talk about that you feel might be too complicated or that wouldn't fall in line with the amateuring theme and you've had to hold back on?
I think we talk about some fairly complicated stuff, but one thing we try to do is... we'll put it towards the end of the episode. So we always try to put something for newer players towards the beginning. That way, you know, hopefully by the end, you know, either you're already engaged or if you just want to listen to the first half of the episode, like, we're fine with that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed you mentioned, you know, possibly isolating more serious players because they can't relate to the show or they think it might be, you know, God forbid, beneath them or whatever. I did notice Matthias Hunt seems to be a friend of the show.
Yes, he is.
How did that happen? Matthias Hunt, love him.
Well, he lives in the area and I was kind of aware of him from some of the coverage and articles that he'd written. And so he started playing at the store that we were playing at, Mead Hall. And so I recognized him and I... you know, played some games against him and we just started talking with him and invited him on the podcast.
I very awkwardly went up to him and was like, I recognize you and your hat and you're pretty cool. Do you want to come on our show?
We call that queening out.
Okay, I totally queened out.
He was actually really so nice to us that first time. He organized a team draft where it was the three of us against him and two other guys who had like been on the pro tour before.
Yeah. Wow.
And like had us over and we did like this whole team draft where we got our asses handed to us, understandably.
Yep.
And then all three of them sat down and did an interview with us.
Yeah.
Which was really awesome. And since then it's just sort of been like he's like a friend of ours and
he's our resident pro.
He's our resident pro, man.
Yeah. When they need a real expert, when I can't handle their problems.
Call Matthias Hunt.
Yeah,
we're actually going to have him on next week as well.
Yeah, he was supposed to be on this week, but he's stuck in Fargo.
Oh, geez.
His car broke down.
Yep.
You guys must have been excited when he seemed to do well at the Pro Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
We were losing our shit.
Oh, man.
It is funny how, like, you know, you do sort of, I've said this about myself, where it's like, once I've had people on the show, I almost feel like their mama. Like, you know, when you go to like a Little League game, there's a really excited mother that's like, that's my baby. That's me. Yeah. Like when I was watching Patrick Chapin do well in events, or if I see Kibler doing well or Travis Wu, and it's just like, oh, and I'm like, why am I don't know you. Like, you've been on my show. Calm the fuck down. And I know I get a little too excited. I think, or even the deck. Like, I remember Michael Hetrick was doing well with Living End, and I've been playing Living End for the last couple of months now. I was squealing. Uh-huh. I was at my desk at work and I squealed. Like when he went 9, I think he went 9-0 the first day, 8-0. And they posted those results. I was at my desk and I went, and people were like, did you staple your finger? Like, what did you do? And I was like,
are you okay?
Yeah, I kind of just had a moment there. And you really, you know, you start to root for them because you do feel like you know them. And it's, I totally get that.
Yeah, I definitely was getting really excited at work, and I was telling my coworkers about it. They're like, Maria, I literally could not care less.
I was
but a guy I know is doing great at something you know nothing about.
I was trying to tell my roommate because then we were snowed in, and I was like, you don't understand. This is really amazing. And he's like, okay, great.
See, my coworkers try to relate, but they still think it has to do with tricks. So, like, so I told them that Hetrick had, you know, was undefeated, and they were like, "Oh, does that mean he did 8 tricks in a row without screwing up the illusion?" And I'm like, "This isn't magic tricks. This he didn't like saw 8 people in half. Obviously, he just played 8 games really well." And they were like, "Oh, that sounds spectacular.
A magic tournament.
They should have that. It should be like a biathlon.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome idea.
A magic biathlon where you perform magic and then you play magic.
One bunny out of the hat, one sawing the lady, one in handcuffs in water.
And then a draft.
And then a draft.
How many handkerchiefs can Patrick Chapin pull out of his lapel? Be fantastic. Or just see like see Brad Nelson with those rings, you know, trying to lock them and unlock them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, that should be, you know, they used to do like the best 2 out of 3, best 3 out of 5. Fuck it. Do tricks, you know?
Just, yeah, exactly.
I like it.
I want to win. I want to see some tricks. That's all I'm like.
Great. They're trying to spice up coverage. Problem solved, wizards.
There we go.
I mean, that would make some of the deck techs a little less awkward because some of those guys just don't want to be up there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. God.
If you pulled a cryptic command out behind someone's ear.
Oh, can you tell us what's in your sideboard? Well, let me just reach behind your
is
ear.
Is this your Jason?
Why don't you look in your coat jacket?
Whoa, there it is.
How did that get in there?
I think one of the most awkward deck techs I ever saw was Eric Froelich. I think it was not this Pro Tour, but the last one. And the one that was standard, the last standard one we had. And I remember he was playing Jund. This is when Jund was still legal. And they were like, so Eric, tell us about your deck. And it looked like he was doing the potty dance. So he was just kind of bouncing in place. And he's like, so I've got Olivia. And she's Olivia. And we've got a couple Thrag Tusks.
Yes.
And Thrag Tusk. You know what he does.
And I'm just like, they need to get some casting agents in there.
Right. I was like, you know, I was like, some people don't know what Olivia does. Like, can you at least act like we don't know? Like, he was just totally, it's a Hunt Master.
Hey, man, some people are players. Some people are talkers.
Also, some people I think are just so good that they're like, how can you not know why this is good?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you have to do the Travis Wu version. Like, I love Travis to death, but when I first got into the community, I didn't get him at all. And I kind of thought
I had the same experience.
At first, I kind of thought he was like an SNL parody of a pro player at first. Like, this can't be real. But I remember the first time I saw his deck tech, he was at an SCG event and he was resting his hand in his head in his hand. And they were like, so Travis, you know, tell us about the specifics. And he was like, so, awesome. Cards just awesome. It's awesome. Like, well, Travis, what about it makes it awesome? It just does its thing because it's awesome. It's awesome. Everything's awesome. And everything was awesome. And I was like, he has no range, but it works. So whatever. But and that was one of my impressions. It's awesome. Just I wanted to do my. Sometimes that's
your
all it
impressions
is.
Are so amazing. Good. So good.
It's better when you can actually see me doing like the hand hold. It's awesome.
Just, I'm imagining it.
Yeah.
If only I could be Asian and take my shirt off, it'd be perfect. But
we all wish that every day.
Yeah, to live the dream.
Yeah, I wake up thinking that.
I check the mirror every morning. Not Asian. So close.
Ben, if between the three of us, you would be the
You're
most
the
Asian.
Closest Thank you. To being Thank an Asian you. Man.
I'm curious why that is.
No.
You rock a kimono?
I just look slightly more Asian than Maria.
Okay.
Yeah. And Megan does not have black hair.
Gosh, I am super white. I am geez white.
Are you a ginger too, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I get you.
Yeah.
We're on a wavelength. We could even do this telepathically. We could just
ginger have that ability.
Yeah, totally get you. So one of the things I was most curious about is whenever I meet other women who play Magic, I'm always really interested to hear about how their experiences are, because there are a lot of horror stories about about women going to events and being treated really poorly. And I was curious if you two had experienced that at all.
Well, it is something that exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't, I mean, we've been to a few events and I haven't actually experienced any outright, like, anything really bad directed at me. But I would say it's more of a general sense of when I sit across from somebody, they assume that they're going to beat me, I think. And that is annoying because I would just hope that they would just look at me as a just a fellow player or whatever. And it also is a disadvantage to them because we do know how to play. So undervaluing us is a mistake. But
so I do feel like the stuff that I've noticed does come more from like being a podcaster. And it's like the stuff like the emails where it's like if I were a dude, you probably would not send me this email
saying they want to buy you,
saying that you want to buy me. And it just does make me feel sometimes I'm just like, oh man, if like this is just like you would not talk to me this way if I was not a girl. And I like there is some stuff where it's just like there are a couple of people in the local community who have like those, you know, the playmats that are like basically a naked chick.
Yeah.
Sexy hentai playmat.
And I'm just like, okay, whatever you want to play on when you're not in a store is fine by me. I honestly don't care. But if you could just like take a step back and be like, oh, if there's one girl in a room of 30 guys, this is probably not going to make her feel particularly comfortable or like at home.
There are some massively boobed out playmats. Yeah. And like, I'm a huge fan of boobs, right?
Yeah.
But like,
boobs are great.
Boobs are great. Let's just establish that right now.
Yeah, you can establish that.
I'm growing my own.
I think we need to do some more testing.
But I don't know. It's just like, sometimes it's like, holy crap. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to tell somebody what they can and can't play with. It's just, this is a personal thing, I guess.
Like and again, it's like I said, I don't want to tell them that, but it's like, if you look around and you see that I'm the only girl, it's like Magic is a little notorious for having that issue of there's, you know, the gender split is just so crazy heavily weighted towards guys. It's like, well, this is not something that's helping your case.
I'm probably just going to start playing with my playmat that has a big dick on it.
You can take the overgrown tomb and just sort of turn it into a mossy penis, you know?
Yep, there you go.
Overgrown dong.
Perfect.
Yes.
Love it. How are the local game stores in your area? Like, are they pretty supportive of that? Or like, if you did encounter a problem, do you feel like they would stand up for you?
I feel like at the game store where we play, they totally would.
Our game store is Mead Hall here in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to play. It's really pretty on the inside. Yeah. And the people who... Shut up, Ben! It's important.
Hey, that matters. I went to one store where the bathroom looked like the setting for Saw.
Yeah, and you're like, I don't want to pee in.
Yeah. The people who run it are really nice, and I absolutely know that they would support us. And we do have ladies who play there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a... I mean...
Yeah,
it's
there's
obviously...
two other girls, so there's a lot of ladies.
Well,
I've seen that's a fair true. Number of women who play there.
I think
not always at the draft night that we go to, but
that's
some of the
true.
Other events, yeah.
And I feel like our store is actually,
I think they do a lot better than a lot of other stores, yeah.
For sure.
In the area.
And we have other popular stores like The Source.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one.
Legion hosts like a lot of big events.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's a little bit of a drive.
Yeah, they're down in the suburbs, so we don't make it out there that often, but we've met some of the people that run events there, and they're all very nice as well. So.
Yeah. There's some more competitive stores in our area, too, which are known for being homes to the competitive players
who play
that we really have kind of sort of avoided.
Yeah, we usually go to stores that have windows and stuff.
you guys, that sounds like a joke, but God, I appreciate some windows.
When you live in Minnesota, you got to take what you can get.
Yeah.
My local game store that I prefer actually doesn't have windows because it's inside of a mall. And I know I was at game day yesterday, which we can certainly talk about later. And game day started at 11 and it ended up being 6 rounds, which we didn't expect. By the time I left, it was about 6:30. And as I was leaving the mall, it had snowed about a good 2 inches. And I was like, what happened? Like, where was I? And
what happened to this day?
Yeah.
Have you had any experiences as a lady in the game?
You know, I have to say that, I mean, I've always described it like this. Like, the people that I've had negative experiences with, I can't specifically say that it was because I'm a woman. Like, the people that I've met that were douchey, yeah. I would like to believe that they would be douchey regardless. That whether yeah, or not I was a dude, there was only one thing I can ever say that came down to my gender, and it happened on Twitter. But it was never like at a store level, like just general assholery. And maybe it was, but it wasn't anything that I felt confident saying this 100% happened because I'm a woman. Either I've seen them be terrible to other people, or I've just watched, I mean, you know, they don't hide it, you know, and, yeah. I've been really lucky and I realize that. And in a way I feel almost bad about it because, I am so plugged into Facebook groups and people come to me and I hear how bad other people have it and they will look to me and say, well, you can relate, right? And I'm like, no, like I have three amazing local game stores that I can go to where I feel safe and welcome. I've never had a problem. I've been able to travel to half a dozen different states and always feel safe. And I have friends who are judges that I could go to. And I almost wish I didn't have it good, like as sick as that sounds, because maybe I would be able to relate more and maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. I can't relate.
So, yeah. I thought of a story.
Oh, go for it.
Of one time.
Yeah.
So
did
I,
you create this or was this real?
This is real. This is real. This happened of something, which was I had done really well on a pre-release. In a pre-release, it was for Gatecrash, and I had nearly won the whole thing at our store.
Oh, Dragon's Mace.
Oh, Dragon's Mace. And somebody afterwards, I overheard them talking to me, and I was like, oh yeah, I did really well, I made it to the finals or whatever. And then they said, oh yeah, I talked to a guy who played you, he said that you beat him for two reasons. And I was like, oh, what? And he goes, and he just holds fake air boobs. And yep. I was like, first of all, untrue. Second of all, if that's why I beat you, you need a better constitution.
Yes.
If you can't handle yourself,
deal with it.
That's why they play with those play mats. It's to, get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah. On a positive note, actually, on that, I thought of this. Like, I do feel like at both my local game store and when we've gone to events, mm-hmm. being a girl does sometimes like help me make friends. Mm-hmm. It's like. Well, it's like
helps me make friends too.
Shut up. I mean, just like people who are going to be like, oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And it's like they're more likely to later on be like, oh, hey, remember like we talked earlier? How's it going now?
Yeah.
And I get that that's because I'm a girl, but at the same time, like they're just being really friendly.
Yeah.
And that, like a good person, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm willing to accept the fact that it's like, this is happening because yeah. I'm a girl, but it's still really nice.
Nobody's ever pulled out my chair for me at a draft yet.
Oh my God. I might smack that person.
I can pull Someone out my did chair. That to you?
No, I'm just no. kidding.
Oh, okay. Like, I wouldn't necessarily mind. I know I've had now that you mention it, I've had an experience similar to that where, you know, when I first came back to the game, I wasn't doing very well. Like I didn't play Magic for 10 years yeah. and I came back for Innistrad and I was terrible. I mean, I was going 0-3 at FNM and literally 0-2, 0-2, 0-2, not winning anything. And slowly but surely I started doing better. And until I got to the point where I was going 1-2, okay, those, and then the ones that I lost were 1-2s, you know, so I was really making them work for it. And then I got to a point where I was 3-0 and then 4-0. And I noticed that once that happened, there were people that just couldn't let me have that. It was, you know, if a guy went 4-0, there was no questioning why he went 4-0 or how he went 4-0. But if I did it, true. People had to find a reason where it's, oh, you just happen to have Phyrexian Crusader and we're all playing red, white human decks. That's the reason. And it's like, or, oh, you had to play Infect, which means you didn't really have to work for it because you know, they couldn't just let me have that. And I've also noticed that on the front of cheating as well. Jackie Lee does anything and it's, you know, oh, she cheated, no questions asked, we're going to look for reasons to make her guilty. Whereas Gaudenus Vidigris draws an extra card or acts like a tool on camera and it's quick, we have to find a reason why he's innocent. And it's interesting how that works, where it's like you will go out of your way to prove she's guilty, but you will go out of your way to prove he's innocent. There's a weird double standard there.
You know, I think you're right. And it's like, what can we do to like think about how to make this better? And the truth is we can just be good players and good people. And hopefully more women will become attracted to the game because more women are playing.
And I think,
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, a big part of that is just like still being a good person.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, I won. And I'm going to be really nice to everybody.
Yeah, I've always been a big proponent for visibility. I feel like we can't make a difference if we're not there. Something I said on the last episode of my show when I had Tifa on is that there are people who want to change things. You know, there are local game stores that want to have more women there, but you need to be there for them to see us out there and that we're there. And there are people who want to listen to women podcasters, but we need to be making that product for them to tune into. Likewise, there's a lot of judges where there's been talk of like almost like sensitivity training almost, where they've been getting these sort of talks about how to be more inclusive. And there are judges that are saying, hey, tell me that you're being harassed. I will intervene for you. But if you're not going to the events, they can't intervene on your behalf. You know, they need people to do these good deeds for. And I think that part of the reason this is happening is because they're not seeing us. But if we let the guys know that we're there, we're not going away, they have to deal with us, you know? And I think that's part of it, is just getting out there and letting them know that. So.
Yeah. I think, ironically, Ben might have, like, the best harassment story of the three of us that he did report when we were at the GP in Sacramento.
Yeah, I had an opponent who... Okay, so first, right off the bat, before he even, like, started being super offensive, I knew I didn't like this guy. Because they made an announcement about the feature match, and they said Tom Martell's name. And this guy is just like, Tom Martell's a sleeve ripper. He ripped five of my friend's sleeves, didn't offer him anything. I'm like, what?
What does that mean?
Yeah, so I'm already like, okay, I'm not going to get along with this guy. And then he starts talking about how, he starts talking about like fucking people's sisters, and he's just being really offensive. And in the moment, I didn't think to call a judge over and report him. I just thought, wow, I really don't like this guy now. Yeah. But then after the match was done, I was like, oh, yeah, I really should report it, just so that the judges are aware that this guy is kind of being offensive. And if it happens again, they can go and talk to him or whatever. So, yeah I just called the judge over and I was like,
yeah,
he's being offensive.
And the judge is like, what did he say?
And so I told the judge, and the judge was like, wow.
What was the line exactly? Because it was something like I'm going to fuck my friend's sister.
He was talking, he said he would fuck any of his friend's sisters. He's like, I don't care. And I'm like, and then he was talking about getting permission to fuck people's sisters. And it's just so bad. Like, if someone does overhear him, or if there's, you know, kids around who, you know, maybe shouldn't hear about fucking people's sisters. And then when the game...
You're playing in, like, Birmingham or something. But...
when the game was over, he beat me, which was also not fun.
Yeah.
Maria came over and was like... And he's like, hey, how's your day going?
Do you have any sisters?
And I missed the opportunity to say that Maria was my sister.
Yeah.
I was too tilted. Couldn't do it.
It would have been so funny, Ben.
I know. You guys, I'm sorry.
What do you think? Can we pass?
Could you pass as Ben's sister?
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
Nice.
That's so funny that you say that, because I mean, I have a tilting issue, as I've documented pretty well in the past, and that's just so random, though, where it's like, you know, what the things I've said to people are certainly random, but never like fucking family random. Like, I might tell you that I hope you go to bed tonight with a piece of gum in your mouth and God bless you, but you know, or I might, you know, wish you'd play in traffic, or I came up with one the other day. I might wish, like, if you beat me, I might tell you that I wish you'd go down a hot metal slide on a summer day in shorts, you know, but I would never like fuck your fam. That's so random. Like, I wouldn't even do that.
He wasn't even like tilting or being insulting. He was just joking around with, you know, the people next to him, like, oh yeah, hey, you know, whatever, I don't care, I fuck people, you know.
Wow, I can't even get my head around that. Like, why there? Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, and that's, who knows? And that's kind of I think one of the things that I hope to accomplish with the podcast is just kind of, you know, send out this beacon that, hey, we're people that like to have fun. We want to have fun with this game.
Yeah.
You can join this community and have fun too. And if we can, you know, attract even one cool person, male or female, who is like not a dick, then I like, to me, that's really valuable.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So, looking back on, you know, where you were when you first started the show, how would you all say that you've changed since the first episode, specifically with the girls, and where you've come from in terms of your progress as players and things like that?
Oh man.
Recently we had our 1-year podcast anniversary.
And I heard.
Oh, thank you. And so what I did is I went back and I listened to our first episode. And it was so funny. It was like, I had no idea.
God.
I mean, the things I was saying, I was like, Maria from the future is mad at you from the past.
Yeah.
And I also remember Ben texting me and asking me to do the first draft. And I didn't even know what draft meant. Like, yep. I had to Google that.
Yeah, there was a So I'll just tell that story briefly.
Sure. Yeah.
I had, you know, been teaching them with the pre-constructed decks. They'd been using Core Set at first, and then I kind of worked them up to some Scars of Mirrodin decks just for some more advanced mechanics. Mm-hmm. And then I heard this store that I'd done a few events at. It was a new store in the area. Meat Hall was the store, and they had just opened a few months previous. They were trying to do a, like, 32-player tournament or 24-player tournament or something.
They ended up getting 40-something.
They needed a certain size to get a certain amount of prize support from Wizards. So they were trying to do this tournament that was a lot bigger than ones they had done before. So they were saying, you know, bring everyone. Like, doesn't care. Like, we'll teach them Magic if they need to. Just, like, get as many people as you can. So it was like, okay, guys, we might be diving in a little quickly, but we could do this draft. It's really fun. I'll tell you how to do it. And they ended up doing a lot of homework beforehand to learn all the cards just so they could figure out how to do this crazy draft format that they'd never heard of.
Totally crammed. And then I ended up taking third place, which was like insane. Like, because I got my DCI card that night.
Wow.
And the guy was like, are you sure this is your first draft? Yes, it is.
I just feel like Ben also likes to talk about how the first time that we played, we would be playing and one person would have a creature and the other person would have no creatures. So the person with the creature would just be like, well, you don't have anything. I guess I can't attack you. Pass the turn.
Like, we had no idea. No idea. Like, when I look back, I mean, I'm so proud personally of how far I've come, and then I can go into a draft or a sealed environment, I don't play constructed, and just feel very confident when I sit down that I know what I'm doing and I know how to win the game and I know how to put together a deck that can win. So that's just what I'm proud of, is just the feeling that of confidence going into a format.
Just like the feeling of, like, I don't even remember what it felt like to know almost nothing. Because now I feel pretty secure, like, secure in the things that I know. Like, I know the right time to cast, like, the best time to cast an instant. I can figure that out. Well, where I'm pretty sure when I first started the game, it's like, on my turn? I'll cast it on my turn.
I remember,
I'll bounce your creature on during my... Okay.
I remember watching YouTube videos trying to figure out the stages of a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, next time I go to Ben's, I don't want to be a complete fucking moron.
Yeah. But now it's just like, that's not even a question that runs through my head. It's just like, I am secure in that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys find that you have more competitive aspirations now that you're more well-versed in the game? Like, maybe you want to go to an SCG Open and win, or you want to win a Grand Prix or win a PTQ. Is it something you think about, or?
This is actually, this is maybe a little bit more information than anybody's looking for. But no. So I like being competitive, and I've talked some about how Magic really helps me get out the competitive side of my nature, which is really strong.
We're all very competitive.
It's made her a lot more agreeable in other areas of her life. Thank you, Megan.
You sound like you're joking, but I mean it. I really do think that I've become more agreeable. But in college, I was a competitive fencer for 4 years, and I burnt out really hard at the end of it, to the point where it's like, I can't even really fence for fun.
If I show her a sword, she has to leave the room.
I have to leave the room. And so I've been really worried about doing that with Magic, because one part of me, the competitive part of me, is like, yeah, like, let's try it. Like, let's do this. Like, let's play hard and let's play to win and let's practice. And then the other part of me is like, let's not go down that road again where 2 years from now, I don't even want to look at a Magic card.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Do you think you've got a good balance?
I think right now I err a little bit towards the side of not getting burnt out. Like, I back off a little bit more than maybe I would like to. I think I want to play more than I do.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever be good enough to do, you know, PTQ level kind of stuff. But, like, I'll set tiny little mini goals for myself along the way and try and reach those So, for instance, we had a big, like, sealed event at our local game store, and my goal was to top 8 it because previous time I had just missed it, and I met that goal. So it's kind of like I'll set myself tiny little goals along the way, and, you know, I guess who knows? I mean, I just don't think that I can get that level just because I'm not a math wizard. but I guess you never know, because I love being competitive about it. Like Megan, in college, I played a lot of competitive poker. And so this is like filling that hole very nicely for me.
Mm-hmm. So Ben, one thing I want to ask you about is what advice would you have for people that may want to get others involved in the game or take on the role that you did with the girls?
Well, I guess two main things come to mind. The first one is, don't be pushy. Like if teaching them magic is way more important to you than them wanting to learn it, like if you're more invested in the game and pushing it on them than they are in learning, then they're probably not going to enjoy it as much. Like people are really good at kind of sensing ulterior motives or like when someone wants something from them. And so, like, if they're not going to, if they don't want to play, like, just don't push it on them. That, like, first of all. And then secondly, I think one thing that really helped with Megan and Maria is that I taught them to play against each other. And it was not a matter of me teaching them while playing against them, because that skill disparity is just so brutal. It's really brutal when one player doesn't even know the rules, mm-hmm. because yeah. that player is not going to enjoy losing because they didn't know when to cast an instant, for example,
yeah.
or how the stack worked, or some other rule they'd never heard of. And on the flip side, like, I'm really going to hate losing, even though you, like, giant growth pre-combat and then cast yeah. a lightning bolt yeah. at my face.
I think it was really helpful for Maria and I to have each other.
Yeah, it was.
So if there's someone you want to teach magic to, try to find, you know, another friend who maybe has a friend that wants to learn and just have a game night, and maybe you can teach yeah. them how to play and answer rules questions while you're playing your own game. I guess that would be the basic advice that I would give. I don't yeah. really have a secret formula. Like these guys,
people do email us and ask a lot, like, how do I get my wife interested in everything?
Yeah. yeah. And, I think having a partner, like, I think it mattered a lot probably that Maria and I, we're learning at the same time.
Right, because yeah. I think in a void, if it was just me, I would have felt like a big dummy. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I still sometimes feel that way. Like when I play test standard against Matthias, and it's just like, I just always lose. No matter even if I'm playing the more favored deck in the matchup, I just always lose. Mm-hmm. And now I can handle that. But I think if it was when we were learning, yeah. I would have just yeah. been like, fuck this game.
And I think what it comes down to is, like, just make sure that if the other person, if it seems like the person you're trying to get to play Magic is not having fun, like, just stop. Maybe yeah. come back to it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just notice when people are having fun. That's good advice in general.
You cannot force the fun.
Yeah. Don't force the fun.
I have to say, one of the things that I've always struggled with is whether or not to pull punches, or whether I should, like, if we're playing a game and I'm trying to teach you and yeah. I can hit you for 15 and kill you, should I hit you for 15 or should I be like, oh, just here's 6 and draw it out? Like, I never,
I think Ben would have definitely hit us for 15.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I taught you guys to play each other, and I didn't try to say, like, oh, you could do this and just kill her this turn. I yeah. wanted to let you guys figure it out on your own. And then after the game was over, I would be like, okay, you could have done this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you could have done this.
I think it's from your own playing perspective, it sort of depends on where they are. It's like, if they're just starting out,
yeah.
then, like, yes, probably pull some punches.
Yeah.
But, like, once they're really into the game, it's like, It's just a hard knock life. It's a yeah. learning experience.
And if say, you know, you're trapped in a basement and there's no access to other players.
Is that what your classroom looks like?
Yeah. Yeah. if you are playing against someone who doesn't know all the rules, just give them an overpowered deck. You know what I mean? Like, play your deck with just vanilla creatures or whatever and give them the more powerful deck and
give
them
idea.
A chance. Yeah. To, like, beat you a few times with the better deck and then start talking about, you know, different plays and what you could have done and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It also has to do with different learning styles too, because there are some people that might feel like a pulled punch is condescending to them, where it's, you know, they get turned off by that. But then there are the people that don't want to lose all the time, and that doesn't encourage them to keep going. And if you make them lose too much, they're not going to want to keep playing, and it'll turn them off. So that's tricky.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about, because I know you guys are great at telling stories and you guys experience so much, and that's how you got all your listeners, is game day. Now, I understand you guys weren't at game day, correct?
No.
Not this time.
I almost went. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that my pajamas were just so comfortable.
But you did indicate that you had some fun doing some 8 and 4s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
Oh, God. You guys.
Oh, boy. We talked about this on our show today.
Give me a little something you didn't reveal on the show.
Yeah. I think...
We did not take Sudden Storm high enough.
That's
That was actually funny. That was during Maria's birthday draft.
I did a birth stream. I did a birth stream 2014. So I streamed for like 5 hours with Ben some drafts, some 8-4s.
And I was at work on my computer, furiously typing into the Twitch chat.
Don't take that.
Trolling in the chat.
Take Sudden Storm! Sudden Storm! They're like, no, I'm too late.
Yeah. I think we made a few evaluation mistakes. We didn't do good at all. Yeah. But, you know, there's still time to learn.
Yeah, we fell down that red trap a few times where we took red cards and then... But red was not open enough that we should have been taking red cards.
You need to be like the only red player at the table.
Super open.
Yeah.
So this was a draft, a Born of the Gods draft.
Yeah, we drafted, Marie and I drafted 4 times and we lost in the first round every time.
Yep. And which is like, we've said, like, Megan and I have felt like super confident about Triple Theros.
Yeah.
So like, it's very strange that we're like, what is happening now? But I think a lot of people feel like that at the beginning of a new format.
Yeah. I am a little sad I didn't go to game day.
But we watched Buffy and played.
It was so great.
Aaron, did you go to game day?
I did. I wasn't going to go because I haven't really enjoyed Standard for the last couple of months and I really haven't played it, but I kind of felt like I wanted to go. SCG Milwaukee is coming up April 4th, so I wanted to practice for that. Nice. So the only events I have to look forward to is GP Richmond is coming up and that's Modern, but then my next Modern event isn't until May. So I was like, well, I've done enough practice for Modern, I think. I'll probably jam some more during the week. Let's try Standard. And I didn't have a deck that I liked. And then I found a deck that was a GP Shizuka. It was Esper Humans.
Oh yeah, I've seen
and,
that.
And I remember talking so much shit about it when it first came out. I was like, what is this? Girl, what you doing?
It does look really bad when you look at it. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like I remember looking at it and I was like, this is too busy. Like, what is this? And I remember I really hated it and I couldn't find it. And I tried several decks out. I tried Esper Control. I tried Azorius Control. I tried Junk Midrange, Junk Reanimator. I tried everything and I just didn't find anything that I liked. And I have to really like the deck. And I also suffer with sideboarding. Like, I am not a good sideboarder. I never know what to put in. I never know what to take out. I never know what's good against matchups. So if somebody gives me a sideboarding guide, I am far more likely to play your deck.
Yeah.
And so Brad Nelson, lovable guy that he is, had been playing the deck for a while and made a really good sideboarding guide for it. And I happened to have all the cards. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's game day. And I'm not here to take it down. If you can't try a crazy deck at game day, where can you try it?
Yeah.
So I sleeved up the original version from Shizuka because Brad is on the Soul Ransom train, which I didn't quite feel good about. So it's like,
Soul Ransom.
Yeah. So I was like, that's a little too spicy for me. I was like, I'll just stick to Supreme Verdict and have a good time. So I went and I ended up going 4-2. And it ended up being 6 rounds, which I was not expecting. And you kind of have that feeling where you hope you don't do well because you're so fucking hungry.
You're like, can I go home?
Right. Yep. So when they told us it was going to be 6 rounds, I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to do well. I'm just playing this deck for fun. Yeah. I lost my first 2 rounds. I was like, great, I'll just go to the Cheesecake Factory and call it a day. And then I won my last 4.
Oh,
and
nice.
They were like, well, you're breakers, and depending on how many people drop, you might want to stick around. And I was just like, I just want to go eat, you guys. There's nothing
just
here.
Tell me to go. Oh.
So then they announced it, and they literally drew out the suspense. So they were like, number one, Adam so-and-so. And then there's laughter and clapping, and I'm just jumping up.
Just I want a piece of cheesecake!
Pretty much. So then, of course, they get to number 7. And you're just like, ooh, you just want to go. And then number 8. And then I realized it wasn't my name, and I literally went, yes! And the TO looks at me and he goes, Aaron, that's not you, honey. I was like, I know, see you, suckers! burgers, and I ran out the door, and I got to eat. But I had a really good time, considering I'd never played the deck before. Yeah. It was neat to see people respect the deck, because I know for a while, Blood Baron was sort of the five-drop of choice, and people forgot about Obsidot, and people weren't worried about Obsidot. But it was really nice to have win games with Obsidot, and people were like, yeah, that card's a thing. And I'm like, fuckers, bow down, you know?
Yes, it is.
So that felt good. And it's always good to get people interested in, especially your combos, because people would see Zathard Necromancer and be like, what the fuck are you doing? And I like that. I like when you can turn.
Look at all these humans.
Yeah, you know, I even got to Supreme Verdict myself and make lots of zombies. And
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. It's nice when you can, I like changing people's minds about things, because people can be very set in their ways with this game, and people will tend to look at your deck and scoff at it, but it's nice when you can turn someone around and be like, okay. Yeah. Your deck is something to worry about. I like that.
So. We learned from the burst stream, we learned some new things. We learned that you can lose two cards like Hold at Bay and Shore Thief.
Yeah, we did lose
we did learn that. Both of those.
Hard lesson.
I did play Theros Game Day back in 2013.
Yeah.
And I had a similar experience where I was just like, I wanted to play Mono Blue. I didn't even have all the cards for a real mono blue deck. So I was running like Omen Speakers and Vapor Kings in the main. But to speak to how powerful a deck mono blue was at the time, I ended up making the finals.
Nice.
But it was one of those things where you're just like, I just want to leave. I just want to go home and eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
But I can't.
And then, of course, I get all of the people who are like, you know, you should have brought some beef jerky with you and some bottled water. And I'm like, oh, shut up.
What do I look like? Commissary? Army commissary? No.
That's me. I'm always packing summer sausage.
Really? Ben packs the sausage. News at 10.
Yep.
If you take nothing away from this cast, know that Ben packs the sausage.
So. Yeah. That is both a joke and not a joke.
And not a joke at all.
Not a joke at all.
That reminds me of the other night I was re-sleeving my deck, and I was like, I get this little thrill when I put my cards in the sleeves. And I didn't realize when I tweeted that, I was like, you know, do you guys ever love just shoving your cards in a tight new sleeve? And I'm like, that's not a euphemism, guys.
That's a euphemism and a truthemism.
Right? And the more I thought about it, the more I tried to justify it, the worse it sounded. I was like, you know that feeling when it slides all the way to the bottom and you're tempted to push it a little more to make sure it's, I should stop now.
And then you seal it with a kiss.
All 75 cards.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody's enjoyed listening to you all on my show, how can they find you? How can they get a hold of you?
Sure. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can also check us out on Stitcher. We're on that app. We're at mtgcast.com, themetery.org, and of course, magicthematuring.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, which we love new followers, at mtacast.
Yep. You can email us at magicthematuring@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the thingamabob, that thing.
Magic Online?
Magic Online.
Ah, yes.
That thing.
My username is horny_unicorny.
I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And my username is Middle Schooler.
I think I was going through your Twitter feed when I was looking for things to talk about, and one of you said you found your soulmate in Anus Presley.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Maria.
That would be me, of course. Yeah, I played Anus Presley in a draft, and I was just like,
I love you.
Yes.
I love you.
Yes. So stupid.
You get me.
I'm surprised that made it through like I couldn't, you know, their standards or whatever. That's
they don't have it. Are you kidding me? How could I get through with horny unicorny? I don't know.
I guess. I think the best name I ever saw was Geist Honored Hunk. I was like, I want to put you in my pants right now.
When I actually talk to the mods on Magic Online, like when if I had a question, they respond, they say, hello, horny, and then they'll answer my question.
I think I just found the name for this show. Just hello, horny.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It has been such a blast to get to know you, and I'm really glad that I've discovered your show, and I certainly plan on listening to you guys a lot more. And I've been to Minneapolis. I was in Minneapolis in January, and I visited some stores, and I will be back in May for GP Minneapolis, and I would love to meet you guys. You guys sound
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah,
we'll be there.
Let us know.
Do you guys have plans for SCG Milwaukee at all?
I was hoping to go, but I think recently something came up here, unfortunately, they have to be here for.
When is it?
That is the weekend of April 4th.
Yeah, the first weekend in April. So
April Fool's Day party.
I know. I'm keeping my fingers
Megan,
crossed.
Megan, it's not a real party. They're just trying to keep you here. April Fool's.
Damn it. Well, if you guys change your mind, I live in Milwaukee. The convention center is like 15 minutes from my place. I would love to show you guys around. It really is a fun city. So please let me know if you're in town.
Will do.
Yeah, man, for sure.
And if anyone else has enjoyed what you've heard here on the Deck Tees, you can always find the show first and foremost on GatheringMagic.com. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to subscribe and leave me a review and some stars. The show is also on Twitter at the Deck Tees. I am on Twitter at Original Estrus, and you can also email me personally at Estrus@ElitistJerks.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.